Hey, welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. This is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm excited to have you along with us for this training on the five things women's ministry leaders must teach women today. Our guest today is Gay Linford. She's president of the National Speakers Association, Minnesota's chapter. She's the author of several books, God, Girlfriends, and Chocolate, as well as Find a Job, the little book for big success, and a contributing author to Don't Miss Your Boat, Living Your Life with Purpose in the Real World. She's here today to share with us about the five things WMs must teach women. And during this hour, you're going to really get a good feel for how to communicate to your gals the importance of understanding that each of us is significant, that every life matters. Number two, that every person has a purpose in life that no one else can fill except for that woman. Number three, that there are daily choices that are determining the richness of our lives. Number four, that it's possible to enjoy our jobs, whatever they are. And number five, that priorities matter. Faith, family, and friends, welcome to you, Gay.
Thank you, Marnie. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm so excited to get to share this hour with you. And maybe before we begin, maybe you can just share a little bit of your heart for women's ministry. Like, what have you personally been involved in women's ministry, and why do you have a passion to help women's ministry leaders teach these five things to gals?
Sure. Well, I think women are consistently and trying so hard to find out how they fit in life. We have so many roles that we play, where there are so many labels that we put on ourselves, and boy, we're just all searching to find, how do I make sure that my life counts? And that's where I think our churches, our women's groups, our circle of girlfriends can make such a difference in helping each of us find our way there. So I've been involved in church for my whole life, and my heart especially goes out to women who are trying to live a faith-filled and a fun-filled life in a world that really demands so much.
I love that, and I think that women's ministry leaders everywhere can relate to the fact that gals are busier than they've ever been. They have more pressure and stress on them than they ever have before, and they really have to make decisions about whether they're going to go to WM now. It used to be that gals would come up just for a sense of obligation, more that this is what I do every second Tuesday of the month or whatever. And now, if you don't really meet a felt need in her life, she really can't come. And that's a huge difference than the way it used to be in WMs. But what's beautiful is that we really can be reaching the needs of these women, and they really do have needs. So as we go through this, let's go ahead and just start with the first thing that every woman needs to know. And I'm just going to let you speak to this a bit here, but it's that you are significant and your life matters.
Thank you. Yes. Several years ago, or about 10 years ago, I realized for my own life that I was churning inside about something that just wasn't settled. And I realized it was my churning was coming from a place of, I don't really know where I fit in, and all these roles that I mentioned before that I played. And it was through some good coaching and some good Bible study and some good prayer that I realized I am significant and my life matters. And that was a turning point for me when I started looking around me, kind of got out of myself and realized, that's really what my girlfriends are struggling with. The women I sit next to in the pew at church, we want to know that our life matters and that we have all these roles that we want to play, and we try and do so much. And at the end of the day, our striving and our wanting to be and our dreaming really, I think, boils down to, tell me that my life matters. So if there was one cry that I could just belt out there to everyone, that would be, you are significant, your life matters.
I love that. And I have an acronym that I teach at Marnie.com that's BUSY, B-U-S-Y, Best Unique Strategies for You, because every single person is so unique. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in the second part. But in this part, the reality is that every person is a critical component of what God's trying to accomplish in the world today.
Yes. And when I think about that, Marnie, in terms of our women's ministries groups and these fantastic groups of leaders, many of them volunteers, who are reaching out to women, What I have learned and what I would share and encourage those listeners with is this. Many of us as women come to these women's events or these women's group meetings, and the first thing we start doing is comparing. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We start comparing. It's either we're thinking about, am I going to be spiritual enough? Am I wearing the right kinds of clothes? Are they going to think my husband's good enough for me? And did my kids, you know, mess up in Sunday school last Sunday? So we start comparing. And when I think about women's ministries groups, women's ministries events, these can be the places that where we feel the safest, where we feel the most encouraged. And it doesn't matter if everyone else comes in designer jeans and we come in our sweatpants. This needs a place where we are just continuously affirmed. You matter. You know, just come, just as you are, you matter.
What do you think is a very tangible, practical way that women's ministry leaders can make sure that to the best of their ability, their women's ministry is a place like that?
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is a very visual picture, and that is the hugging that takes place at so many of our women's events. We get there and we're hugging our friends because we're so glad to see everyone. And there are some who will always be off to the side. Some ladies who just aren't sure who to hug, or maybe they aren't huggers, but yet we need to make sure that we are reaching out beyond our own circle of friends in this women's ministry group and be hugging and caring and, you know, rubbing the backs of those women who may be feeling a little on the outside looking in. So that's one way. And the second thing I think of is maybe a little more, we have to be more careful with, but it's this. I think in our women's ministries groups, it sometimes can become very easily to highlight and celebrate all the women that are doing and giving and serving and showing up. And yes, they need to be celebrated and acknowledged, and yet that can, I think, cause others to feel less than or not enough because they don't have the time or they don't feel they're at the right place in life to volunteer. So they start again to feel a little bit on the outside looking in. So they're in the room, but perhaps they feel like there's a window in front of them and they're peering in, you know, with their nose up against the window pane, thinking, I just wish I felt a part of this. Another suggestion I would make is before we attend our women's events, that we just ask the Lord to show us, who needs me today, God? Who needs me to show up and be their best buddy? Who's aching that I don't even know about? And then we show up and just let God show us to those ladies.
I love that. I love that. I feel the picture of the glass wall between,
yeah,
you know, someone present but not quite feeling part, and
yeah,
just how even the positioning, at some of our events, the positioning of an ambassador at each table where you specifically plant someone at each table that is
right,
going to extend friendship to everybody at the table, even regardless of if she knows anybody there when she starts, but she's there at that table as the ambassador of that to make sure that that's happening. It can really get lost in the shuffle.
Yes, it can. And you know, not because anyone is ill-intended. It's not
right,
because someone's doing something wrong. Sometimes
exactly,
we just get caught up in the event rather than there are women here whose hearts need something.
When you were talking about the prayer before you go, the Who Needs Me Today prayer, so many times we are attending this and we feel like we need it. You know, we need the person to reach out to us, and so we don't really feel like we're the person to be reaching out. But what I've learned in my own life, and maybe, Gay, you can speak to this in a moment too, is that oftentimes in my very weakness, that's where God is the most powerful. So as I extend his love to someone, even when I'm feeling the most needy myself, at those moments he extends his love back to me through them or through another person.
Oh, I agree, Marnie. So true. And I think it's finding that right balance between am I feeling needy so I'm getting too caught up in myself, or am I really needy and I really, it's not because I'm caught up in myself, but I just need someone to reach out to me today. I agree, yeah.
Number one is you are significant and your life matters, and it's so close akin to number two, which is you have a purpose in life that no one else can fulfill. I just, right before speaking with you here, Gay, I was on another radio show being interviewed myself, and I was mm-hmm. talking about how we are each of us 3 billion base pair of DNA strung together by God in a particular way, and we have a specific purpose, and it is so specific that if they just found a piece of my finger, just the tip of my thumb, mm-hmm. or if they just had a tooth, they'd be able to identify me from anybody else on the planet. And that's not only with our physical being, that's with our giftedness, with our personalities, with everything. We are so unique, and it's so critical for women mm-hmm. to understand how important it is for them to embrace who they are in Christ.
Yes. Because I'm constantly reminding myself, and I remind my friends and those in audiences that nobody else can be you. So if we truly believe that God created us and put us on this earth with all that DNA that you just talked about, and he's given us a purpose, a mission, a reason for being that no one else can fulfill, if we keep trying to be what somebody else wants us to be, or if what we think we should be, and we lose sight of what we believe he has asked us to be, then nobody is us. Nobody is showing up, and the world misses that. And I think so often we think of purpose and mission in terms of, you know, we've discovered a cure for cancer, or we've traveled around the world with a particular ministry group, or we've been on this TV show, or we've spoken for audiences of thousands, or, you know, we're a CEO of a company, but that's not what our purpose is. Our purpose is much deeper, and that's where he calls us to show up. Who is it, Lord, that you want me to be? Show me who that is, and then guide my paths and set that road before me, so every day I can live out who you want me to be.
I love that. I love that. It's the difference between performance and existence, and to just hunker into, to settle into, and get really comfortable in the skin that God gave you, wherever you are. I think about the POWs, the prisoners of war, who there was a particular one, I can't think of his name right now, but who was in captivity for many, many, many years, and much of that time in solitary confinement. And he came out and wrote a book, and even though I can't think of his name, which is a perfect illustration of how little it matters, really, but how much it matters, because he changed how I viewed the world. Because if he could hang on to hope and just continue thinking positive thoughts, continue having mm-hmm. faith and hope in the face of complete, utter despair and loneliness and separation like that, being so far away and so lost without yeah. any sense of will there be a future for me, and yet he was able to come out and not only live a productive life but write about it and encourage people like us. And then I was thinking, you know, for my own life, no matter what I go through, there is value here. It doesn't matter what I am doing. It matters what God is doing through me.
Yes. I think the author you're talking about is Frankl, perhaps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm right with you on that one, Marnie. When I think about, there are times in our lives when our purpose seems so far away, and sometimes it's because we're going through a health crisis, or perhaps we're young moms with little babies who just, you know, if we can get a shower once a week, that's a good thing. You know, whatever it is, we feel like God's purpose is something that is just so far away from, you know, dirty diapers and chemo treatments. But yet, if we remember that, even if we feel sidetracked, it's just that. It's just a sidetrack. It's not an end. It doesn't mean that our purpose and our mission cannot be fulfilled. It's just as you said, God is using something in what's going on right now to help keep us moving forward. His way is so much bigger than our way that who are we to second guess that he can't take something from our deepest pain or our deepest hurts or our biggest crisis and say, this will be part of my plan.
You know, and I just look at all the people in the Bible, and I love people like Joseph, who, mm-hmm. you know, clearly had a dream and a vision, And it was years and years and years. And after, you know, his brothers wanted to kill him, and he was in a pit and then sold into slavery, and then, you know, falsely accused and in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he got to see something. Or how about David, who got anointed? God actually had his prophet anoint him. And then my husband and I were just talking about this morning. Then he went out and actually ran for his life, and it was like God had totally made a mistake there, just abandoned him almost. And yet David just held his faith. Joseph held his faith. Abraham. All these guys that show us that it's not about the circumstances. It's about the God who is with you through the circumstances, even when it looks so despairing. When we talk to women in our women's ministry about their purpose, okay, what is the main attraction there? What is it that we can use to help women really understand and bring this home?
Mm-hmm. There are so many different ways that we can help women discover their purpose, you know, different workshops we can do. I think just in our day-to-day interactions with them at our ministry events, if we just continue listening to them and asking them about what matters to them, and then as we are listening, we're seeking to understand what is something that just keeps coming up. So I'm thinking about, for instance, at a women's ministry event. Perhaps, again, I'm thinking today so much about these women who are on the outside looking in, who attend these events. Sometimes if you ask them to help you, like maybe it's, can you put these flyers down on the table, that will help them feel included. That will also give them maybe more courage to have conversations or to engage. And it might also help you get to know them better to see where might her purpose be, where might she find great fulfillment as she comes here. And then I'm also thinking on the flip side, for those who may be the ones who are on the outside looking in, trying to think through, how do I break through that? How can I become one of the group? Perhaps what you need to do is ask, where can I volunteer? What can I do? Make it something simple so you don't have to type up the program or say a prayer from the front, but simply, can I pour coffee in the back? Find a way to enter in. And I think as we do that, we will then help women discover what is it that they really want to do, what are they all about, and it'll help us get closer to them defining why they're on this earth.
I love that. And I think for the WM leaders that are in charge of groups, too, one thing is to model good behavior in this way, where you take your leadership through group through personality testing and especially through spiritual gift testing, so that you can really know the gifts and the areas, the strengths of your leadership group, and that will have a ripple down effect too on your gals that are coming, where they will see that you are actually purposefully and intentionally looking to work with people in their areas where God has gifted them, instead of just slapping them into, you know, whatever positions open. That has a ripple down effect, Gay. I feel like where the gals who come recognize, oh, see, they're looking at us each as individuals, not just as here's the list of work that needs to get done, but they really want to know how God made me and how I can participate.
Yes. And I would add to that there is a responsibility for all of us who attend an event to take some ownership in trying to be a part of the women's ministry group, to feel a part of it. And if I can share one story where I learned this firsthand, Marnie, and that was, this was about 9 years ago, just after my dad died, I went to an event. It was a National Speakers Association event. It was a holiday party. I hadn't gone to any parties or done anything social for several months because all I would do is cry. And I think there are a lot of women listening who maybe it wasn't because their father died, but because they are in terrible pain or their broken relationships, or they are in a place of, I just can't go out because I just can't cry, or I can't keep it together. But I knew that I needed to get out there and do something, so I went to the event, and right away it was just a little too much overload, and I knew that I needed to either leave because I was just going to bawl through the evening or find something to do. So I went and asked the caterers if I could just take one of the trays and go around and serve people hors d'oeuvres. and it gave me something to do, but I had to take responsibility for doing that. Now, clearly, hospitality or cooking, serving food is not one of my gifts. I'm not someone who's comfortable in a kitchen, but I just found something I could do to get out of myself and start to serve others, which is kind of what you'd mentioned before. So I think if anyone is listening who is just feeling like, I'm just so tired, I just hurt, but I want to get involved, I want to be part of something, just ask, what can I do? Or say, can I hand out flyers? Can I pour the coffee? Do something, because, boy, getting out of ourselves and just changing the rhythm of our heart sometimes can make all the difference.
Oh, I love that. I love that phrase, changing the rhythm of our heart. I love that. This is Marnie Swedberg. We're visiting today with Gaye Linfords of GayeLinfords.com. It's GayeLinfords, GayeLinfords.com. We're going to come right back and talk about daily choices and how that determines the richness of our life. We'll be right back.